Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
And that was Moby with We're All Made of Stars, and you're listening to Vectis Radio, FM 104.6 and online. And you're here with the Wednesday afternoon show with me, Dave Mack.
Ross.
And Lily.
Yes, and we are lucky enough to have, well, I think Lily's a bit excited.
I'm very excited.
She's a bit of a super fan.
Theatre kid,
that's the one. We have Mike Christie here.
Hello.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm great. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
No, pleasure, I must admit. And obviously, we know what you do. We're obviously G4 and obviously the X Factor experience, but we know there's a lot more to you than just that. Do you know what I mean? And we just want to hear a bit more about your love for the Isle of Wight and the things you're doing, because I know that you're very supportive with the community and things that are going on as well. So yeah, it's great to have you in, just to ask a little bit really of kind of what's going on, what's coming up really. So
yes, I'm a very proud islander. I live in Cowes and I think it's the best place in the world to live. I feel very fortunate to be there. And yes, I tour a lot with the band G4, as you mentioned. We've got over 100 tour dates this year alone in the UK and Ireland, which is pretty amazing. Yes. Fantastic to have that incredible support out there. But it means when I'm home, and at the moment I'm on a four-month break from touring, and I'm home, and it gives me so much pleasure to put back into the community of the island and put on various events and do as much as I can and support two amazing charities. I'm ambassador for Mountbatten Hospice and Independent Arts as well. So it just gives me so much joy to be able to do that and ultimately make a difference.
No, that's what it's about, isn't it? And I must admit, even just like this radio station, the things it does with the four P's and stuff, you know, especially if you're adding back to the community, you know, it really does make a difference, especially when you spend all that time working. Because yeah, it's the job. So where you said obviously you're touring all around the country again coming up, so how far into your break are you at the moment?
Well, I start back on tour on the 1st of May, and right, that's a theatre tour, and we're doing 60 dates on that one, and it's called Phantoms of the Popera.
It took us
a long time, obviously, to come up with that little cheeky title.
I like it. It's got a ring.
And as part of our tours, I always make sure that we come to the island and do at least one show. And we actually finished the tour this year, which is nice, because often at the end of the tour, I end up in sort of Carlisle or Scotland or somewhere, and it's quite a long way to trek down. But this time, I finish in Shanklin Theatre on the 14th of July, which is amazing. And apparently it's nearly already sold out, which is fantastic. And I can't wait for that. Definitely. And then we're in Portsmouth, I think, a couple of days before. So we ever edge closer towards the island, and then finally in Shanklin. And I can't wait. And it'd be so lovely just to be home and then not far to go.
So I'm intrigued. Yeah. What the rest of the band, what's their thoughts on the Isle of Wight? Do they live near here, or would they ever move here? Or
they tell me they love it. No, they actually do. They live all over the place. We've got one in Essex, one in Devon, one up in Leeds. So we are quite well spread out. John, who is the blonde guy, as people call him in G4, he is the blonde guy. I was blonde actually for a bit in lockdown, but we won't go there today. And he is a very, very keen fisherman. And whenever he comes down, he gets this rod out, and it's amazing actually what he has caught. He has caught some good things. Doesn't always happen, but it does work. And then Duncan, who lives in Devon, he absolutely loves the sea. He loves wild swimming, so he goes into the sea whatever time of year. And really loves that, which is great.
So he's one of these happy Boxing Day swimmers.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, I love a dip in the summer, but I'm not sure about the winter.
Yeah.
It's meant to be really good for you, though, isn't it? I think we're missing a trick.
It's a bit like the ice plunge when you come out of a sauna, things like that. It's supposed to be the way you're supposed to do it, get the circulation moving, everything. But
well, they say after you've had a nice warm shower, you should turn it on to freezing cold just for the last 10 seconds.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really seem that appealing, particularly this time of year.
Especially after you've just had a nice shower and you think, the more nice reflection, so like,
yes, but it could, maybe it could add years to our lives and we don't even realise it.
Well, message us in, tell us, guys. Let us know what your experience is with that. Well, obviously, G4 is a major part of your life. Like I said, the island part is something we'd really like to talk about as well. And obviously you've got a lot of things that you've done for the community and for charities on the island and stuff. What's the latest thing you're kind of focusing on at the moment?
This year I'm actually launching a brand new festival. Some of you listening will know that I already run a festival called the Wight Proms Festival in Cowes every year. That's been started in 2018, and I run that single-handedly. I don't do it to be paid. It's a voluntary position. And for me, it's about giving something back to my hometown of Cowes and to the community. And a certain young lady, not far from me, has performed, I think, every single year as part of Theatre Train. Whee! And they are so talented. Oh, and it's such a joy. And for me, I was so fortunate growing up to have performing opportunities. And it's really, you know, you can do all the training in the world and, you know, it's wonderful and really learn your skill. But you learn best when you're actually on the stage in front of a live audience.
I understand
And
that.
So it gives me so much pleasure to be able to say to Theatre Train, for example, you can have a half an hour slot, you know, come and perform on stage. And they really showcase their skills from dancing and singing. And it really is incredible. And it actually brings a tear to my eye because I just think it's so wonderful just to see the joy in their faces for all of you when you're on stage. You know, you can just tell they absolutely are fully immersed in it and absolutely love it. And actually, for a lot of people in that position, they won't go into music, they won't go into performing as a career, but it's the confidence that then has a knock-on impact on everything they do and the friendships that they make for life. And it's such an amazing thing. And so that's just part of the White Proms Festival. And for those of you who don't know about it, where have you been all this time? But every night is a very different genre because, I mean, last year, I think we had sort of a week or 10 days. It varies every year slightly, usually in August. And we have country music, comedy, musical theatre, opera. We tend to finish on the last white of the proms, as I call it, with a big 50 or 60
piece
orchestra. Absolutely. I do love a pun, I have to say. But as I was saying before, I'm actually launching a new festival because obviously one's not enough. I don't know how I find the time, but I do. And this is something I've wanted to do for a long time. It's a bit of an exclusive, actually, because it's not, you know, top secret, obviously, because I'm now going to tell you, but it's not being publicly announced. So for a long time, I've wanted to create essentially a mini Olympics on the Isle of Wight.
Brilliant.
And I get somewhat frustrated how we've got so much going on, you know, on the island, so many brilliant things, concerts and activities and clubs and groups, and yet we don't know about them. We find out too late. Or it's something that we would love to get involved in, and perhaps it's a couple of roads away, but we just have no idea. And this festival is called the White Games Festival, and it's just that. It's a mini Olympics, but it's not elite. It's very much for everyone to take part, for the whole community. And we have
traditional sports. You don't have to be athletically inclined.
But you can be. We do have traditional sports amongst the mix. So we have tennis and rowing, cricket, equestrian, dressage, things like that, that you might expect for an Olympics.
Well, can I just ask you, we do have an almost Olympic grade person in this room. Ross.
Tell me.
Me?
Yeah, you're always winning at bowls.
Oh, yeah, I win at bowls, yeah.
So has he got a bowls round there? He'll be well up for it.
Now, Ross, you haven't mentioned that bowls could be part of this. That's very exciting. We'll talk afterwards,
there
definitely.
There you go.
Get that lined up, brilliant. That is very exciting.
We have representation.
Definitely.
And
thank
he
you.
Loves it. Nearly every week he's telling us about how he won something the week before.
He's a very talented guy. He's also winning quizzes a lot of the time as well.
He is.
Yeah.
He does love a quiz or two, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
It's brilliant.
Takes the whole family out. But yeah,
especially the music round.
Yes, you do love a music round. So you've obviously got all the different sports and stuff that people do. So what sports did you say you've got confirmed at the moment?
Well, there's things like tennis, paddle, croquet, rowing, archery we're going to have as well.
Always popular on the Isle of Wight.
Equestrian, dressage. There's a lot of... Well, they're the traditional sports.
Yeah.
But we've also... It's really reinventing what a sport is because I want someone to look at the list of what's available and go, oh, I can take part in that. So someone that's perhaps not physically able to do something, such as those sports listed already. And so we were bringing things like chess, tug of war, any sort of game will work towards it. And in fact, I open it out to anyone listening. If you would like to be part of this and bring your organisation, club, group, society, whatever it is, into the mix, because the festival is all about showcasing and exposing all the wonderful groups, clubs, societies we have on the Isle of Wight. And even for those that are well known, for example, the WI, you'd probably struggle to find someone that hasn't heard of the WI, but they're actually bringing curling and darts to the mix.
Wow, fair play.
And in Cowes, where I live, the president, the earliest founder, was in her 20s, and there's a whole younger group as well. So it really is for people of all ages. So even an established organisation, you think you know what they're about,
mm-hmm.
but actually there's something quite different. And even for Mountbatten Hospice, I should add, crucially, that all the money raised for this goes between three charities: Mountbatten Hospice, Independent Arts. I'm an ambassador for both of those, and the Isle of Wight NHS Trust.
Split three ways.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So even with Mountbatten Hospice, again, you would struggle to find someone that hasn't heard of them.
Yeah.
But for one thing, we're not very good about talking about death, and it's really important we do, because it's going to happen to all of us. I sadly lost my dad in his 50s.
Yeah.
So I can talk quite openly about it, and I appreciate it is a difficult topic for so many people.
I can relate as well. I lost my mother when she was only 65. And merely the bereavement counselling at the Mountbatten is fantastic. And there's volunteers that are doing that as well. And
absolutely.
It really is a lot for a lot of people. So
definitely, you
know, all these things go miles, and it's really fantastic stuff. So just tell us, if people want to get involved, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, at the moment, we're setting up the website. So because this is so exclusive and so early, there isn't a website yet. It's being currently created. But what people can do is, they, if they want to contact me, if they go to the White Proms website, which is White, obviously, as in the island, for the international listeners, proms, whiteproms.co.uk, go to the contact page, and that will come through to me. And that's a good way of contacting me to add any sports. But essentially, it can be anything. There's no rules or regulations, in the sense that it can be whatever you want it to be. And I want, for sports champions that come forward with their sport, being it a traditional sport or an activity of any kind, it just needs to be something that's competitive, that you can win.
Yeah.
It could be a photography competition, for example. It could be tiddlywinks. It could literally be anything. But what I want from the sports champions is getting them the most exposure for what they do, because it will be, you know, widely publicised. From the 2nd of March is when the official launch is, and it will be out there. And it really gets that club or group or society out there to be known. And for example, in East Cowes, there's a jigsaw festival which takes place every August for a week, and the money the church makes then enables them to stay open for the entire year.
Wow.
So it's a big deal for them. But again, there's people in East Cowes, even in West Cowes, across the river, who have never heard of it, and perhaps they're really into jigsaw. So I'm hoping that this festival will not get people involved in the festival, but beyond that, they go, actually, I didn't realise I could play netball there, or that I can play chess there, that they will then get involved. And
so where are the locations you're looking at? Just
So it's all over the island.
Okay.
So there are various organisations and groups already signed up, and they are purposely, I've made sure they're all dotted all over the island, so wherever you live, you can take part. I know, obviously, it's a bit tricky at the moment with roadworks getting anywhere, but hopefully by that stage we'll have some nice clear roads and it will be a lot easier. But anyone can take part as well in the activities. So once it is launched on the 2nd of March, please head to the website, and then at that point you can look through the sports and you can see what you can take part in. Some of them might be a tournament that takes 3 weeks. Others, it might just be you rock up for a morning. You spend an hour there. And so it varies hugely between the different activities.
We'll also have things
during Cowes Week as well, which this year, of course, is the 200th anniversary.
So
it's going to be a family zone with some activities towards this festival.
And you're going to have it part of it as well.
Absolutely,
That's fantastic.
And also in East Cowes during Cowes Week as well. And they've just opened the slipway, which has been closed for some years, the public slipway. And it's all championed by East Cowes Sailing Club, because they want to get more kids on the water. So it just means that kids will be able to go on the slipway and try out sailing through UKSA, paddle boarding, and canoeing as well.
Why not make the most of the things we've got around us on the island? There is plenty of water.
We are so fortunate, and people are very quick to moan.
Yeah.
I know, obviously, the hot topic at the moment is the roadworks. People are always moaning about the ferries.
Yeah.
And I think we forget sometimes to celebrate how amazing the island is, and we've got so much to offer.
Yeah.
And let's really celebrate that and bring everything together this summer.
No, that makes sense. Even the inconvenience of the roadworks, though, it's to be honest, it's not that bad. No,
the thing is, even when it's confusing at times,
I'm like, it's shut, but it's not shut.
Yes. Even when there's no roadworks, though, people, if they're going from Cowes to Ventnor or Ventnor to Freshwater, they say, oh, it's such a long way. And it's not really, but it's just you become acclimatised to the island, and it, you know, seems like long distances. Okay. But
you know, living on the mainland for a brief stint, and just if someone asked for a lift from Southampton back to Eastleigh, but yeah, no problem. On the island, that same distance, like, oh, no, mate, it's too far. Do you know what I mean? So, God, love it. Right, either ways, we're going to have to go to some music for a short while, but it was great to obviously touch base about the festival there. We'll give a bit of more information when we come back in a mo, and we've also got a few questions for you. We know Lily's itching to ask you a couple of questions. And we've got some that have been sent in as well on WhatsApp. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a mo to talk with you more. Back in the studio with Mike. Thanks very much for staying with us.
Thank you. It's been fun chatting away.
Yeah, no, it has actually. And it's been nice to get to know you more, especially with everything you do. And the love of music in this room is very apparent amongst all of us. So it's been really good chatting. But we obviously want to ask a few questions ourselves and a little bit more kind of about, you know, how you've got to where you are, what you're doing with yourself. And also, a few of our listeners have got questions for you as well.
Oh, should I be worried?
The ones I've read, no, not so much actually, but there's a couple I haven't read yet.
No,
so
bring them on.
Yeah, we'll wing it. Right, so first of all, I have Christine Martin. Do you know her?
I do, yes.
Yeah, fair play. I'm one of your fans.
Yes.
So a question she has is, you've been on Through the Keyhole, apparently. And would you consider celebrity traitors, or would you be a traitor or a faithful?
Oh, my goodness.
I must admit, I don't watch it. Does anyone else watch it?
Oh, I love The Traitors.
You love it?
Yes.
What about you?
No, I don't watch it.
No.
I'm obsessed with The Traitors.
Ripping.
Oh, okay.
It's so good. And I try not to watch too much TV. Because I'm a creative, I always think if I'm watching a big TV series, I could be writing a song in that time or something. I sort of frustrate myself.
Yeah.
So with The Traitors, that is my guilty pleasure. And I think for me, I just find it fascinating seeing how people interact with each other and how circumstances can change and everything can, you know, immediately go in such a different direction.
Yeah.
For something that's so little that's happened. It's unbelievable. It's so interesting. But I would love to be on Traitors or Celebrity Traitors, and I would definitely want to be a traitor.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's the choice.
But I say that, having, you know, the thing is, it's hard to know what it'd be like. It would obviously be incredibly stressful, and I do wonder whether I could hack it. I don't know whether I would sort of turn bright red and sweat, or whether I would be a really convincing liar. But if you come off the back of that and you've been a really convincing liar, then are people ever going to trust you again? So it's a bit awkward.
It is a weird one. How do you play that one out? Well, yeah, no, I think you've just got to go for it, stuff it.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, I must admit, you do worry about that perception. You're going to get people turning around going, well, you know, like the boy who cried wolf.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think as a traitor, you know then what's going on with the game. You know who everyone is. Although not if there's a secret traitor, which actually made it quite interesting.
Have you noticed I'm trying to talk to you like I know what you're talking about? I just fluffed that up. I know what you're on about.
But the thing is, the traitors know who they are, and they know who the faithful are, whereas the faithful don't know who the traitors are. And their whole point is they've got to try and guess them and get them out.
Fair play.
Of the game, you see. But so as a traitor, at least you've got an idea. You feel like you're in control of the game.
So that's your answer then. You would. So if you're listening in, get Mike Christie in.
Yes,
for it?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm ready. Got my pen ready to sign.
Love it. Right, also, another question here from Kate. She asks, which celebrity would you be starstruck by?
It might sound a bit pompous, actually, but I've been so fortunate over my career I've been in the music industry for decades now, which seems absolutely crazy because I still feel quite young. But I have met so many amazing people that are celebrities. And when I think back to when we were on The X Factor in 2004, which is obviously now over 20 years ago, we used to go to so many celebrity parties and film premieres and different things. And all these people I grew up with as being mega famous were looking at us and were starstruck by us, by G4, because they'd seen us on The X Factor and they'd voted for us.
Oh,
so we're at a party and David Beckham just walks over and goes, "Hi guys, loving your work on X Factor." And you're like, "Sorry, what?"
Yeah.
We were at the BBC studios and Dawn French came rushing up to us and said,
I'm a big fan. She's hilarious.
I'm a big fan. I must have a photo with you. And then we actually ended up performing when we won the London Olympic bid. We ended up being booked to perform at a celebratory dinner. And we were just in the corridor waiting to sort of go on and perform. And there was some screaming coming from the corridor, and two crazy women running towards us. And it was actually Sue Barker and Claire Balding. and they just said, "We are such massive fans of you. We want to have a photo with you, please. We think you're amazing." And just like, what? And these are all sort of national institutions that you sort of, you've known your whole life, and they know who you are.
You feel chuffed, but at the same time, your brain's just going, "What just happened there?"
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it ended up happening so much, it just becomes very normal. And also, in that situation, I can't turn around to people and say, "Oh, can I have your autograph? Can I have a photo with you?" Because it just feels really awkward. It actually wouldn't enter my head, because it's just not the done thing.
I've had the luxury of actually meeting a couple of my heroes, and I'm exactly, I couldn't ask them for a picture or anything, and literally, or even an autograph. I just, because I'm thinking, I don't want to be that guy. But admittedly, I'm like, oh no.
Exactly. Actually, I thought of someone. People always come up to me and say, "Look, has anyone ever told you you look like Tim Henman?"
Wow.
And I say, if I had a pound, I know. It happens
now
a lot.
You said it.
Happens a lot. Now, I've never met him.
Do you know who Tim Henman is?
No,
I didn't think you did. He's a world champion tennis player.
Oh,
yes,
okay.
he was very good English tennis player, and got to 4 semi-finals at Wimbledon. Amazing player. And I'm a huge
this
tennis
is his
nut.
Double.
I absolutely love tennis. I love playing tennis. Member of the
Should
Ride
get you
Club
two
here.
Playing
on
the same
island.
Team one day.
And absolutely. But I would love to meet him, and I probably would be a bit starstruck. But just because I feel I need to have a photo with him to see if we do actually look alike. I think we're the same height.
Right, okay.
And people say all the time we look alike, but I need to,
I've got to make this
somehow
happen.
Work out how I can meet him.
Okay.
So that we can absolutely be sure. So we'll see. And maybe I will be starstruck by that, because I've been waiting for this moment for a long time.
Ooh, Wimbledon.
Yes.
Get yourself up there.
I know.
Maybe G4 could do a special performance.
Great. Well, if you can put a good word in for us, that would be
great. I do happen to know somebody. No, I don't at all. But anyways, nice.
We'll work it out. It's fine.
We'll work that one out. Well, there's your answer there, Kate. We have another one. Who do we have here? Inglane, question. This is the one I haven't read yet, so let's see. Don't let me down, Inglane. What's the most valuable lesson that you've learned from being in the music industry?
Goodness, there are so many things you
must
can say
admit.
To that.
Yeah.
It's hard to narrow it down to one thing.
That's a whole nother interview.
I think the most important thing is that you stay true to yourself, because it's very tempting to think, oh, I want to be the next so-and-so, or I want to be this or that or the other, and you're inspired by different artists, and we all are. You know, growing up as a singer, as a performer, there are people we admire and we want to be like, but ultimately, we're the only person in the world that is us, you know. So it's no point trying to be someone else, otherwise there's no one being you. So I think that's really the most important thing, because then if you don't succeed, you've been yourself, you've been genuine, you've tried your best at it. And what's so important, and having been in the industry for so long now, it's got to stay fun, and it's very easy for it not to become fun. And I'm sometimes envious of people that have music or singing as a hobby, because actually it's, you know, you can pick and choose it, but actually when it's your actual career, it is full on. And of course the bits that people see are incredibly glamorous, and you walk out on stage, and let's face it, we as performers, that's what we live for. And when you're on stage, you might as well not even know what your name is. It's just, you're absolutely on a different planet at that point. But it's all the grit and the determination that goes before it, and you've just got to want it more than anything else in the world, and it's just not an option to do anything else. And if there's any slight sort of chink in that armour, then it's going to be really tough to make it. It's a tough industry.
Yeah, no, it is. And it's many dream of it, and even the ones that succeed at it sometimes don't realise actually how tough it is, and you see it time and time again. And I think that just having that kind of bias on it, just keeping that balance going into it of, I knew what I was saying there. That balance of making sure that you're understanding that these people, like, just talking to celebrities, you know, they're still human beings, you know what I mean? They're still doing stuff just like everybody else, and you guys have to do that all the time. And if you wanted to go sick, for example, that is like calling up your boss going, "Can you cover me?" You know, you've got to do your performance, whether you like it or not, or unfortunately, disappoint a lot of fans.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So be true to yourself and don't give up. The thing is, you've got to just keep pushing yourself out there and make opportunities for yourself. Be heard, be seen. Don't wait for someone to come and, you know, sign you up or rescue you or book you for something, because it may never happen. People don't just knock on your door and offer you whatever until you've reached the top, but you've just got to keep pushing and keep get proactive. Out there.
Fair play. Right, well, obviously we're coming towards the close of the chat, but Lily, I believe you've got a couple of questions as well.
Yeah.
And one is actually through WhatsApp.
Yes. So I've got a question on the back of what you've just said about stepping on stage, that feeling. Do you still get nervous before anything? And if you do, what do you do to calm those nerves?
I don't get nervous anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I would get nervous is if I don't quite know what I'm going to be doing on stage. But it's not a sort of a panic nervous. It's just a feeling of wanting to do a good job.
Yeah.
And to explain what I mean with that, for example, if you were booked to a gig very last minute,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't something that you had much chance to prepare for, and that really is where all the years of training, hard graft, practice, work you've done really comes into play.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you can use it, because people can easily look over and go, oh, well, that's easy for him. He can just, you know, rock up and do that. But they forget the amount of work that's gone into that. But that's fine. You don't need or want people to know that. You just want people to enjoy the performance. But if I am feeling nervous before something, and thankfully it doesn't happen very often because I really like to be prepared when I do things, and I love being spontaneous and improvising and doing things like that as well, probably because I don't get nervous. But I think it's just important to keep breathing very, very deeply and remember why you do it, and it's because you love it. And at the end of the day, when you're walking out onto the stage, and actually it's particularly someone I would say that's going for auditions for things, you've got to remember that the audience or the panel, they want you to do a good job. They want you to be amazing. They're not immediately going to think, oh, well, they're not very good. And they are on your side.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to go out there, enjoy it, and do your best. And that's all you can ask.
Nice.
Brilliant. You got any more? One last question?
Yeah, I mean, I think a good ending question would be, what is your most unforgettable memory with performing with G4?
I think really, having finished the X Factor, we were runners-up and we were gutted because we thought that was the end of our journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we got signed by Sony BMG and we released our first album and it went to number one. And it was the biggest selling album of the year.
Wow.
And it just almost came from nowhere because we were all studying at music college, did the group as a sideline, went onto the X Factor for a laugh, thinking, well, we're not going to get through anything. But we did get through. And so it was so unexpected. So to have that number one album was just the most amazing feeling.
Nice.
That's awesome. Great way to round that up. No, thank you so much for coming to the studio. And you know, we could have talked for absolutely ages. But thanks for coming in. It's really appreciated. And we hope to have you back again soon. And
definitely. Same time next week.
Oh, mate, could be a plan. Right. Thanks very much, guys.